Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
To our mates at King G, welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
So good to be with you on a Saturday afternoon. We're coming to you from Pikes' Pub at Suncorp Stadium. Magic Round is well underway. Two games of rugby league yesterday evening. Manly 50 over the Broncos 6. The Tigers 36 over the Knights 18. Looking at that tyre power scoreboard, the big stat of the night, of course, was the referee's 8 sin binnings. A story, as I said, that is reverberating around the game as we speak. Stirler will join us a little bit later on. He'll get his take on that. Graeme Annesley. We'll see what he thinks, whether it was a win or a lose for the game. We'll talk to him a little bit later on, get your calls as well. So much to get to with Ryan Girdler, Mark Geyer, Brent Reed. My name is Tony Squires. Did you, Girds, I noticed last night between you called the first game,
yeah,
and then you made your way through Suncorp Stadium.
I did,
like,
yep.
Jesus walking among the people. How was it for you?
Jesus wasn't well received.
Really? What happened?
Oh, no. Like it was all in good fun, but there was a fair bit of banter on the concourse on the way across. I think I went past every bar and every bathroom. Mm-hmm. So there was plenty of people there. At that point, we were halfway through the night, so they were well into their festivities.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a good fun couple of chats on the way around.
Well, festivities just about to kick off here at Pikes' Pub. And what better way to kick off than with this?
Read about it. Read about it.
Reedy's Mail.
All right, Brent Reed, we talked about Adam Reynolds. The decision is made. He is a Bronco as of next year. Does that make any difference with other halfbacks and where they're going? Mitch Moses, for example.
Well, we broke the news during the first game last night that Mitch Moses, he had an option that was due yesterday before kickoff in that first game. He obviously had some interest from elsewhere. There was some talk he may just take up the option and re-sign for 1 year. The mail I'm getting out of Parramatta is that he will sign a long-term deal there. It'll be at least 3 years. An announcement will come soon, but Mitchell Moses will stay at that club for the foreseeable future. Now, what that means is they can now move on to some other guys. Ryan Madison's got an option in his contract. It's due round 12. I suspect he will at least take up the option, and the club may look to extend him out. The big one now is Clint Gutherson. He's got one more year left in his deal. The King, captain of the club. And now they've got Mitchie locked away. I think they'll look to extend Clint Gutherson out for as long as they can. Basically keep the nucleus of that side that's threatening to break that long premiership drought. So
how are they going with the cap though, Rudy? Because they re-signed Nathan Brown last week, didn't they? So now they've got Moses, and you're talking about Gutherson.
He's on a big deal.
And Marnie, I would imagine. I mean, his price would only be on the rise,
he's
wouldn't it? So they're going to be able to keep them all in?
Well, I think they're confident they will, Gerds, because, I mean, guys want to stay there at the moment because the club's going so well and, obviously they're a premiership threat this year. So I'd be stunned if Clint Gutherson left just because he's, the captain of the footy club.
What about Madison?
Madison's interesting.
Where's he on their list?
Well, I think he's a reasonable priority, but his concussion issues make it a really delicate situation because... Yeah, I mean, he's a good footballer, Ryan Madison. He's been on the verge of origin, I guess, for a couple of years now. But the head knocks have meant he's spent extra time in the sidelines. And I wonder whether other clubs, given his history with the head knocks, would take a risk on him. I think he'd be viewed as a risk. I don't know whether you guys agree with that. But his concussion history, for me, would put some clubs off, I suspect. So I think for that reason alone, he might stay at Parramatta.
Yeah, and when you've got a club that they're in the position Parramatta are at the moment where players will... play for them for less. You're in a healthy position. I just don't understand these clauses that get inserted into contracts these days. Round 10, round 12. I don't know how you, as a CEO or a footy manager, you sign off on that.
Well, sometimes I think they've done it for choice because the club, the player and the manager puts them in a position where they say, this is what we want. And sometimes the players have got the power, don't they? Sure, at points in your careers, you were... obviously great football players. Yep. So you would have had a little bit of leverage, and I guess in some cases the player and the manager use it.
I would imagine too the form of Papa Lee would have made it a little bit easier to make a decision around whether they keep Madison or not, because Papa Lee wouldn't be on a hell of a lot of money, and they've got Nukori as well playing in the centres at the moment that can play back row. So if they're going to look to get their salary cap in shape, they might need to make some cost-cutting exercises, and Madison might be one of them.
Yeah.
Right, what about Dane Gagai?
Yeah, look, obviously, once Adam Reynolds made the decision to leave South Sydney, it meant South had some money for next year because they've been keeping a one-year deal on the table for Adam, which stopped them moving on some other players. Now, that deal's obviously off the table now because Adam's gone. So their focus now is on Jaden Suhr and Dane Gagai. They've got to fight for both those guys because some other clubs are circling both those guys. They're both linked, funnily enough, with Brisbane. My understanding is Brisbane have dropped off Dane Gagai, but the West Tigers are now taking a close look at Dane Gagai. So, look, South's got a challenge on their hands with those guys. Dane's on a big deal right now. I think he's going to have to take a little bit of a haircut, but the Tigers are definitely in the market for a centre, and they're looking pretty close to Dane Gagai at the moment. So South's got a fight in their hands with those blokes.
What does that mean for Joey Leilua? Because he's up at the end of the year, isn't he?
He's got a club option. So the club's got an option on Joey Leilua, and I believe they've
got to they're going after Gagai.
Well, that doesn't sound good for Joey, does it? I think the option on Joey's pretty close. The club's got to make a decision on Joey in the next couple of weeks. So, Joey's obviously looked good in patches this year, but if they get Gagai, I think that could spell the end for Joey at the Tigers.
Now, Rudy, I saw and read this morning in the Weekend Australian, you wrote a small novel, about 10, 12,000 words.
Did you read it all?
I read it all on Redcliffe and their desire to be the next club in the NRL. You went through their entire history through, it was wonderful, in chronological order, which was good.
Yeah.
What's the system now? Because I understand that report that many of the clubs commissioned independently to look at expansion and what it would mean for them, the first section of that has come back in a positive way.
Yeah, there's four parts to that. The first section's come back, which looked at the fan base for the respective bidding parties, three bidding parties, how that would impact on other clubs, current clubs in the game, and that's come back pretty positive for expansion. So that's one tick. That report was, there's 12 clubs that are contributing to that report, about $5,000 each. It's by a mob called the Gemba Group, and it's going to be finalised end of May, early June. Expansion, the decision on expansion will be made at the end of July. So that gives the clubs plenty of time to digest that report. But so far, it's come back pretty positive in favour of expansion. But the big issues are still going to play out, and that is whether it will bring more money into the game, whether it will affect the money the other clubs are given. Gemba haven't done that part of the report yet, and that's the controversial part of it.
All right. As I said before, I'm embracing expansion. I moved on to size 38 pants. We have so much next. We'll play a bit of Believe It or Not on the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
All right, gentlemen, it is time for a little bit of this action.
Believe it or not, not.
Believe it.
Yes, very simple operation. I put a statement to you or a question. You tell me whether you believe it or not. Very easy. All right, given the controversy of the first two games of this magic round here at Suncorp Stadium, I think it behoves me to ask this one. Believe it or not, in the three games that we will see this evening, there will be at least two sin binnings per game.
Believe.
Believe?
Yeah, I believe. Unfortunately, I believe.
Do you think the statement just continues to be pushed?
I think the powers that be, Pete Vlandis and Abdo, are going to remain staunch to their idea. They want to, they don't want to be seen to just implement something that's so diverse, but then go back on their word. It's going to be there. As I said earlier, I think that the timing of it was out. I get what they're trying to do, because last weekend the game copped a bit of flack and a bit of a black eye. The way we handled the Roosters players being injured. So, but I don't want everyone else to be collateral damage because of that. And I think they're going to be today.
I don't believe it. No, I think the players will heed the warning, MG.
I hope so.
They'll drop their targets. They'll hit around the chest, and we'll escape with only one sin bin per game. Perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't believe it, and I think common sense will prevail. And I think. More around what the referees see and do and how they behave, more so than the players. I don't think the players can, maybe they can change the way that they go about their business a little bit, but I think it's more about the referees applying common sense and a little bit of their experience into the situation.
But the boss, Lenny, has come out and said it was all good. What happened last night and yesterday was all good. Surely he's not going to encourage the referees to just pull back slightly.
We'll find out.
We're going to speak with Graham Manners.
I don't believe it.
It's funny though, Tony, because my dad texted me.
He
loved the games.
Really?
He said they were very entertaining. He said the players need to stop hitting blokes in the head.
He's blaming the
players, my dad.
He loves the 11-a-side game.
He loves it, yeah.
I love it.
Go watch your A-League.
Yeah. All right. I'll read it. I think this might have been put there by Brent Reed. Believe it or not, Brent Reed is the NRL's most respected journalist. Wow. I'm going to put my hand up and say I believe it.
Do you believe that?
I believe that.
We've got to say we believe it. He's right next to us.
Yeah, I know.
I don't believe it. I would say...
Second or third?
Say Michael Chammers.
Yeah.
Oh, get out.
He was good on the show, wasn't he?
Or Ricky Gervais, as we know him as.
I would put Rudy on the podium.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have him taking home the gold.
Okay. Rudy, do you want to...
I would say least offensive. How's that?
That's something I can relate to.
Switzerland, man. I'm Switzerland, Tone.
I've never had an opinion in my life. I know exactly what you're saying. All right, given we saw the Tigers have a good win over the Knights yesterday... The question in this, believe it or not, is, given their roller coaster, believe it or not, the Tigers will lose by 30 next week.
Well, I don't believe it because they're up against the Warriors. Well, the Warriors can score points in their day, can't they? But I think the Tigers, I think they'll win next week. I think they've turned the corner, I feel like.
I'm with you, Rudy. I don't believe that. I think that was what they needed last night. They needed I think the Dewey and Mbai switch was a masterstroke. I think Adam Dewey's one of them players who could even push for Origin next year, such as his utility value. I think they'll beat the Warriors as well.
I'm not going to burst their bubble, Tone, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens next week with the Tigers and the situation MG just spoke about. Is this something that's a week-to-week proposition, or are they going to build on the back of this? Is that the new combination, and how's it going to look moving forward? So I'm going to say they're not going to get flogged by the Warriors. It'll be a good game, a tight one.
All right.
With 15 sin down.
Exactly. All right, for those who have just joined us, we mentioned this at the top of the show, and in terms of Manly's win, they were terrific. Tom Trbojevic was sensational, scored a double, set his brother up for one as well. Paul Vorton, in the wash-up of that, said that Tom Trbojevic was not only going to be Manly's best fullback ever, but perhaps Manly's best player ever if he keeps going through. And there are plenty of good ones on that list, and Fatty was confident that Tommy may well top it before his career is finished. So on the back of that, the question is quite simple. Believe it or not, Tom Trbojevic should be the New South Wales number one. Fullback state of origin.
Oh, he should be because he's an unbelievable player, but he won't be because James Tedesco is an unbelievable player as well. So I don't believe it. He will be. He won't be.
He won't be, yeah.
So I believe that he won't be.
You believe that he won't be, so you don't believe it or not.
That's right.
Excellent. All right. MG.
No. Teddy will be fullback and Tommy will be in the centres, I think.
Okay.
Oh, no, I don't believe it either, no. I mean, Teddy's the captain of the team. He's been outstanding for...
A long time.
How many years now? Teddy will be the fullback for sure in game one and I think Tommy will be in the centres as well.
All right, this last Believe It or Not, it's just something I don't believe because I believe that people should treat those who they work with in the proper manner.
Yeah.
I know that, Ryan, you do. You're like that. You're some guy who, if, you know, producer Tony was to ask you a favour, you would immediately grant that favour, even if producer Charlie, more reluctantly, you would, accede to that request. I just want to point this out, listeners, that last night, it can be quite difficult to get out of Suncourt Stadium.
Shocking.
Not shocking, but...
Shocking.
Okay, shocking.
I'm going with shocking.
Yeah, well, 42,000 fans streaming out, although some had left a little earlier, given the state of the game at halftime. It can be difficult to get if you're not going to Caxton Street, not going to get a drink somewhere nearby, if you're trying to get away from the stadium. Transport can be a tough thing if you haven't pre-arranged it. So, Offset MG and Wendell Saylor, with producers Charlie and Tony. Wendell claiming that this is the way to go if we want to find an Uber.
Yes.
His local knowledge was coming into play. So they went to some very dark and dingy place, at which point a taxi pulled up and MG and Wendell got in the taxi and left, leaving the producers to get your own Uber. Can this be true, MG?
Yes. I can't lie. It was true. I was following Wendell, as local knowledge would indicate, and
Following Wendell is never a really good idea.
No. He did say that. He said that this is the best place for Uber, so we all followed him, and then a cab came, so I just jumped in with him. I said, because it's 20 minutes of walking. So by that stage, it was, yeah. The boys got back,
but I love shallow as a car park puddle. Excellent. That's Believe It or Not for this week. Graham Annesley is going to join us shortly as well on Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard, the Tigers yesterday 36 over the Knights 18. And a man powerful up the middle of the park joins us right now, James Tarmo. Congratulations, mate.
Ah, thank you, mate.
Must be very good, obviously, getting the first game of this kind of round. It's like the Olympics. You can just spend the rest of the day causing trouble in the athlete's village for the next 2 weeks. When do you have you headed home? What's the plan for you guys?
Yeah, mate, something a bit like that. Get the first one out of the road and cause a bit of havoc. No, it's always good. We knew all eyes would be on us, and Magic Round's such a great concept for the game. But we got back early this morning and spent time with the family.
Hey, Jimmy, congratulations. Great win last night, buddy. Can you tell us a little bit more? Obviously, you know Dane Laurie, so we're kind of seeing what he can do in first grade for the first time. But you spent some time with him at Penrith. And did you have anything to do with the fact that he was recruited from the Tigers? And have you found him transitioning over into the top grade?
Yeah, mate, I'd like to think so. I was part of their recruitment drive, but... No, anywhere he went, obviously the Panthers are, they've got some talent there and they were devastated to let him go. That's just how rugby league goes. You've got a team and you've got some talent underneath that are first grade material. They just got to play first grade somewhere. So fortunate enough, Ty, we got him. But mate, he was scratching at the first grade side there at Penrith. So, and we're only just seeing what he can do.
Hey, Jimmy, Brent Reed, I wanted to ask you about the speed of the game. There's all this talk that it's now a young man's game. You're a bloke who's, I wouldn't say you're you're in the latter stages of your career. What have you made of it? How have you adapted to it?
Yeah, you're not wrong, Brent. It's obviously getting a bit quicker, and the talent is coming up a lot younger. Obviously, I think they're exposed to the type of professionalism coming straight out of school, that might help. Obviously, Payne Haas, Stephen Crichton, the likes, it's crazy. But, as a fan of the game myself, it's something that you look forward to watch. But as a oldish big man in the middle, it gets tough sometimes.
First try in the new colours, Jimmy. Fantastic. Good to see you, buddy. Barging over from 70 metres out.
Yeah. That's what I tell my kids.
Oh, that's going to be the four B's. We'll all know about that one, brother. Something uncharacteristic happened last night between you and Tyson Frizzell. There was kind of a little bit of a push you, shove me type thing, and very not like you or very not like Tyson. What happened there?
No, mate. I knew straight away. As soon as I pushed and I went, oh, what have I done? Oh, I've got to go through with it now. I love Frizz. After the game, we were talking, and I don't know, sort of the emotions get to you. You get caught up, obviously in the middle there in the washing machine. He said he obviously didn't know I was down there, and I just overreacted, I think. Like you said, uncharacteristic. Something like that, though, lets the team down. So I hung my head straight after and had to get back to work and try and make up for it.
So, James Tarmo, your club and every other club got the email on Friday about this crackdown from the referees in terms of sin binnings for high contact, even if it was incidental, for repeated infringements at the ruck and the play of the ball, all those sorts of things. How was that conveyed to you? What did you expect in terms of that? I mean, it was all for ruck infringements, the four sin binnings in your game, but how did it play out on the field?
Yeah, mate, obviously we've seen with the rule changes, the game's gotten quick, and with this coming into it, we've got to be tighter in the ruck. We can't give away any penalties, any ruck infringements, will only hurt us. You're seeing the scores at the moment. It's quite lopsided, so it's just sort of putting the discipline back onto the teams. Like I said before, as a fan, you love to see it, and you know, all these tries being scored, but like I said before, it gets tough in the middle.
As a big man, though, given that these new requirements in terms of just incidental contact with the head, it can be difficult for you going into a tackle in terms of not, you know, making sure you don't have any contact whatsoever for fear of a 10-minute stretch in the bin.
Yeah, mate. Look, I can tell you right now, you know, teams obviously, you don't practice for that sort of thing. It's just one of those things that happen. You know, you're doing all you can to try and make the tackle, and unfortunately, you go high. And I know, you know, players obviously don't mean for it to happen, but there's obviously consequences that come with it now. And, you know, we'll see some of the quicker guys around the middle make their mark. But, you know, like I said, we as a team, we've just got to be a bit tighter around that. And, you know, you see some of the scorelines, you know, before the scorelines were getting a bit out of hand, but now, you know, with those, with everything going on, with the sin bins and that, you know, obviously we're going to see more points scored. But like I said, that's just on us and discipline.
Jimmy, is the game as enjoyable under the current system?
Mate, at my age, every game is enjoyable. I'm still sort of, you know, I'm relishing everything. Once you get to my age, you know, every training run, everything you do, you sort of take it all in. You know, obviously it gets a bit tough, and like you probably saw on the weekend, the emotions got the better of me and with some other players. But, mate, always enjoyable, obviously when you get a win. But, no, that's just something we have to be careful of and just make sure we're at our best.
Last night's decision from Madge to put Adam Dewey in the centres and Moses Mbai at 5'8" had a lot of us so-called experts scratching our heads, wondering why you'd put the best player in your team out in the centres. But geez whiz, he can play anywhere. And I think Moses Mbai was his best game in probably 2 years last night. It was a masterstroke from Madge.
Yeah, mate, it sure was. Well, we knew all those players, you know, Brooksy as well, Adam Dewey, Moses Mbai, they've got plenty of footy behind them, very talented. We just had to get them on the field and get the ball in their hands. You know, Adam Dewey is dangerous everywhere. He obviously got a double last night. And you saw Brooksy sort of come out a bit more too. He was directing things around, and which is good. And obviously, you know, he had a really, really good game. You know, we spoke about us in the forwards of, you know, doing our part so we can get the best out of them. So obviously that worked, and hopefully we can get some consistency going forward.
Jimmy, you've been at a few different clubs now, so, and you've had a lot of success at some of those organisations. You were brought to the Tigers to bring that knowledge and that consistency to the group. What do you see? You guys are at the moment a bit of a week-to-week proposition. We don't know what we're going to get every time you guys run onto the field. Now, what do you see in weeks or in the preparation to a performance like last night than the week before when you throw up a performance like you did against the Titans?
Yeah, mate, you're exactly right. That's what we're sort of getting at the Tigers at the moment, and that's on us to change. It's just one of those things. Obviously, you know, you get a win and you go on a training in the week and you think we're going all right, and then bang, something happens. But we were never not confident going into games. We, you know, reviews, we looked at effort plays that helped us. Obviously, you know, we can play it. So, you know, the games in the past, we can play a good 20, 25, 30 minutes of our best football, but a game goes for 80 minutes. So, you know, it's just trying to get our best to prolong that you know, our best footy to get to that 80 minutes. So obviously we can build off last night and hopefully get a few wins in a row and get our season back on track.
Yeah, well, you certainly did last night. 36-18, a great win. Congratulations, mate. Thanks so much for having a chat.
Mate, pleasure, as always.
So, Jimmy. Take it easy, buddy.
Yeah, great man. Thank Jimmy Tarmow joining us here on the screen. We're talking about Tyson Frizzell. You've got something there for us, Reece.
Yeah, MG pointed this out. Tyson Frizzell, pretty ugly aftermath of that game last night. He's been racially abused on social media. He's posted the post that someone sent to him. It was surrounding fantasy football points, fantasy league.
Wow.
And they've used some racial language in there. So, I don't know. We just keep calling this stuff out, and it just keeps happening.
And good on him for making a stand and calling it out too, because it's not on.
Well, he says he won't cop this, and nor should he.
Yeah,
nor should he.
And as the players have said, you know, who cares about your multi? Who cares about your fantasy football? You're not that important. You're just a racist idiot.
Yep. Yeah. Well said, Tone.
This is the Saturday Scrum. Thanks to King G.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Ryan Girdler, Mark Guy, Brent Reed, Tony Squires with you, coming from Pikes's Pub at beautiful Suncorp Stadium in magnificent Brisbane. Another sensational day being put on for this magic round. The Bulldogs taking on the Raiders at 3 o'clock. The Sharks and the Rabbitohs, the Roosters and the Cowboys. I can see from Pikes's Pub as I look out the window, the giant football out there in the courtyard. People lining up for photographs with the King, Wally, the statue. Mm. I mean, how many times you've been here? You have to get a photograph with the King, obviously. Was it out there that the press conferences, the public press conferences were supposed to take place, really?
I think it was, Tony, until Wayne Bennett intervened and said he wouldn't show up, and that put a kibosh on the whole thing.
He has a point, doesn't he? I mean, the notion it was kind of fan engagement, which is good. So players and coaches would go out there and have their press conference, and I think a couple of questions from punters directed through an MC or something would come to them.
Yeah, I mean, I had concerns about it. I didn't think it was such a good idea because I thought some inebriated punters might start sort of interfering in the press conference. That was my issue.
I thought we might finally get some decent questions asked.
There's no need for that.
Exactly.
Yeah, obviously, once Wayne put the foot down and said, I'm not showing up, then I think some other coaches fell into line with Wayne, and that just ended it. So, look, I believe Andrew Abdo was really keen on the idea, so I wouldn't say it's a line through it forever, but while ever Wayne's a coach and Wayne turn up, that makes life difficult.
Yeah. Is he the poo bar of the coaches? Like, is he the number one? The grand poobah?
In what sense?
He's like the leader of the pack, the alpha male.
Well, I think he's the one who is most likely to stand up in that situation and say, I'm not going to do it. And if Wayne doesn't do it, then that gives every other coach an excuse to say, well, if Wayne's not going to do it, we're not going to do it either. Ricky, Wayne, Craig, I mean, they're the long-serving coaches, aren't they? They're the ones with the most gravitas.
It's just such a great place to watch a game of rugby league here at Suncorp Stadium. It has been different names, obviously, Lang Park. I want to get memories from you guys who have played here, Gerds and MG. I mean, as a fan watching it, I don't think I'm giving my...
I played here too, Tane. Don't leave me out.
Wait, back up, Sparky.
Yeah, I played here twice.
Did you?
Yeah, true story.
As a curtain raiser to what?
Once was a curtain raiser to a Strikers game, and once was in a celebrity soccer match. Carl Stefanovic was a teammate of mine that day.
When you say true story, it's not much of a story,
is it? No, it's not much of a story. No, I scored a goal here, though.
Did you?
Yeah, a long time ago, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not sure with MG.
I'm sure they've got
MG
better,
top left bin, or...?
I chipped the keeper from 25. It was a good goal, actually.
Did he fall over?
It was short.
I did watch a game here from 1974, Australia playing Great Britain. And Gough Whitlam was introduced to the team, so I remember the crowd going, get Gough off. With Gough. Took a year, and obviously
we've got a memory of here too, Tane.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What about you, who've just done nothing better than play here? Gerds, was it important to you?
Look, I don't know the date. I don't know whether it was 2003 or 2004 when they turned it from Lang Park to Suncorp. I'm not sure the exact date, but it was around 2004 that I played at the new stadium here. And it was about the middle of the year, and I was coming off contract, and hadn't decided whether or not I was going to continue. I was 32 at the time, and we were playing the Broncos here, and back then, obviously around that time, the Broncos had a pretty fair outfit, and Shane Webke was lining up in the front row for the Broncos that day, and I was in the centre position. And for some reason, Webby, every time he had an opportunity to eyeball me and run down the short side, he did so. So the first couple of occasions, I got in front of him. In the second half, I just refused to. I just at the end of the game, I walked off and I said, I think that's it. I think my decision to retire was made here on the back of Webby running down short sides at me and me getting out of the way.
I love it.
As sad as that might seem.
I've had nothing but nightmares here, really, as a player. I never played at the new stadium. I think I was a few years into my retirement when this was built. But Lang Park, I played under 18s here for New South Wales. We had a good win, but that was the only win I've ever had here. Club footy, I never beat the Broncos here. The second game they were in, they beat Manly in the first game like 44-8 or something. No, the premiers from the year before. And Ron Woolley was my coach, and he was old school. You know, he was always after an impact on some format. So we're sitting on the plane on the way up, and I'm sitting there with next to Johnny Cartwright and Barry Walker, and Ron Woolley comes up to me with a shoebox, and he said, used to call me Mountain, put these on. I went, okay, Ron. So I've taken my shoes off, put my shoes in the box, and put these shoes on, which they're Barter Scouts, and they made me look about 7 foot. Like, I had to duck to get out of the plane, and that was, as I jumped out of the plane, heard that these flashes go off, these cameras. And on the front page of the Courier Mail the following day was Giant arrives to take on the King. And they beat us. So that was the first time I played against Wally, and they beat us, 10-8, and then Origin up here, no, never beaten them. So that was, but it's a fantastic game to watch footy from.
It is a sensational venue. We're watching three more games this afternoon. The Bulldogs taking on the Raiders, the Sharks and the Rabbitohs, the Roosters and the Cowboys. And that's where Ryan Girdle leaves us for the afternoon. Thanks so much,
Enjoy your magic round, everyone.
Will do.
Enjoy your
Sterlo will be in that hot seat next. We'll also speak with Graham Annesley. Plenty ahead. Saturday Scrum, thanks to King G.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.